The Buck Sexton Show.
When our water heater broke down last month, it was a nightmare. It took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. By the time it was all said and done, I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. And they will break. And at the worst possible time. Call American Residential Warranty right now for free information on home warranties starting at just pennies a day. Don't wait for your refrigerator to stop running or your ceiling fans to stop turning. Call American Residential Warranty right now. Ask how you can save up to 50% on warranty. Washer and dryer coverage. Just call 1-800-686-3910. That's 1-800-686-3910. Again, 1-800-686-3910. Call now.
You can understand at a very basic level the appeal of somebody, being told that they have free college and free health care now. It can be a little more difficult to say, well, we offer you pathways to entrepreneurship, and what's more appealing politically, somebody who's promising you free stuff or freedom, is the very basic way to put it down. We're now joined by Tom Nichols. He's a professor at the U.S. Naval War College. He's also a senior contributor at The Federalist. Tom, thank you for calling in.
Glad to be with you, Buck.
So I see you wrote a piece that sort of looks at both the Williamson pieces and the MBD, Michael Brendan Doherty piece, on whether the white working class that supports Trump, whether they're being swindled by him or whether conservatism actually has anything to offer them. I kind of want to let you just work through your thesis on this a little bit. You say that the working class is not a lost cause for conservatism. Why?
Well, you know, it was interesting because as we call him, MBD, Michael Brendan Doherty, he he talked about how this affected people in white male working class enclaves like, and then he mentioned two cities, Garbutt, New York, and Chicopee, Massachusetts. Well, that got my attention because I'm actually from Chicopee, Massachusetts, and I actually grew up there. And I thought he was being unfair. He basically was saying that Trump is filling a void, that the Republicans are keeping things too abstract. They're talking about, you know, interest rates and tax relief and things that only matter to rich guys, and that conservatives needed to target these white working class males with a message that resonates more for them. And his example, and he admits that it was a caricature for effect, but his example was a guy hooked on Oxy or Vicodin who was jobless and trying to keep his life together. And, you know, how do we speak to them? And how does Trump speak to them? My answer to that was that I thought that, and Kevin Williamson basically echoed what I said. He responded to Doherty as well to say, that's really condescending. That's really a kind of giving up on working class white males and assuming that the only way that you can get through to them is to do what liberals do, to treat them like victims, to condescend to them, to promise them more stuff. And I just found that really off-putting. And I suppose, again, it twigged in my head because one of the places he mentioned is actually a place I grew up where I still have friends and I still have family living there. And I just didn't recognize the cartoon that Doherty drew of these working-class white men. I think they can be a lot better than that. And I think they're being seduced by Trump's message, which I would add, that is becoming indistinguishable from Democrats.
Well, because I wanted to get beyond whether it's cartoonish, because he also had a cartoonish, what was it, hedge fund manager or some finance guy who's doing cocaine in Darien.
And
I'm not sure how many hedge funds are in Darien, but nonetheless, he was, you know, he did caricatures on both sides, I think, to make the point. But the issue he was trying to also get to was one of messaging, right? And why does the Trump, and I know you're about to go there, but I just wanted to push it in a specific direction, and that is, why is the Trump message resonating with working class white voters in this way? And what is a better message from conservatism that can compete with the Bernie Sanders or just the straight up Democrat version of things, which is we'll give you more stuff, we'll give you Obamacare, we'll give you, in the case of Bernie Sanders, free health care, We'll give you free college or greatly reduced rates on college supported by the taxpayer. The counter messaging from conservatives to non-college educated working class white males, some of whom support Trump, should be what?
That will create an environment where you can get a job. That conservatives will get the government off your back. It will get tax rates down so that other people can employ you. It will clean up the streets and make your neighborhood less unsafe so that you can actually live somewhere without fear of your life. What it can't do, and this is my problem with both Daugherty and Trump's appeal, you can't get into an arms race with the liberals about promising stuff because conservatives will always lose. Our heart is not in that. We can't promise to make college more free than Bernie Sanders. That's a dead end. Conservatives were never about that. And I think Daugherty had good intentions, but I think he ended up basically saying, look, the only way conservatives can really compete is to see if they can out-pander liberals on things that no one can deliver. Bernie Sanders is never going to make college free. That's never going to happen. We're never going to have a $20 minimum wage. We're never going to do any of that stuff. And I think to get into that sort of, if you want the white working class, then you've just got to out-promise them things, I think is crazy. Because in the end, a working class voter will vote for a real Democrat over a fake Democrat every time.
Right, but let's not use for our purposes for now Bernie Sanders as the guy on the other side of the table. I know that's relevant and that's fair because he is one of the guys on the other side of the table right now. But I think the assumption that I still make, and Tom, I could be wrong these days, I don't know. But the assumption is still that it will be Hillary, that it'll be a more mainstream Democrat, and that white working class voters in places like Ohio and other states that are essential battleground states will be essential to whichever side of this is going to win when it comes to a general election. Is conservatism creating the grounds for people to succeed? That may be ideologically pure, but if you're just looking at this from the perspective of what works, can you convince people to pull the lever based on we'll clear the playing field and then whatever happens, happens?
Well, I think part of it is that Republicans are have been scalded by the effect of the financial crash in 2008. So they don't want to make arguments like John Kasich is making, for example, where you can say, if you give us time, and I'm not a Kasich guy, but he makes a good argument to say, look what I did in Ohio. I can actually do that. There are examples of Republican success, especially in the governor's offices and around the country. So you can actually make that case. But the other case I think that Republicans are afraid to make is to say, if you think your life is bad right now, think about who's been in power for the last 8 years. Think about the policies that have led to the collapse of the family over the past 40 years. We're the people, we conservatives, I don't just mean Republicans because I'm not a Republican. We conservatives are the people that have been fighting against that kind of social collapse and hollowing out of the small towns for all that time. And the problem is, of course, that a lot of candidates say, well, that's just being negative. Well, Hillary Clinton's going to take credit for every good thing that's ever happened since 1960. I mean, you can just see that coming already, especially in that ghastly appeal to young women, you know, that if it weren't for me, Hillary Clinton, you'd all still be in the kitchen and barefoot and all that nonsense. So, I mean, in some sense, yes, there has to be a criticism the past 40 years, but your question's a really good one, which is what do you replace it with? And I think that conservatives need to really think hard about this and go back to the well about ideas from people like Jack Kemp and things like, you know, preferential tax rates for businesses to start. Part of the problem, Buck, is that anything that creates jobs also benefits entrepreneurs. And that's what Trump and the Democrats are both going after, saying, look, those guys will get rich too. But as Roger,
I worry, Tom, because I hear a lot of Republican, and I know you're distinguishing yourself between Republicans and conservatives, and I'm speaking about this broadly because I do hear it from a lot of the candidates and in general from the conservative movement and from people inside and outside the GOP. They talk about sort of the entrepreneurial spirit. I make jokes with this. Like, not everybody can be an entrepreneur. And by the way, a large majority of entrepreneurs, a lot of new businesses fail. Depends on what sector we're talking about. But, you know, starting your own business is usually a risky venture and you have a lot to lose. It's not just like losing your job. You could lose your life savings. So we can't be a nation where everybody gets to be an entrepreneur. We have to be a nation where there also are employees, not just employers. And I think that's where the Republicans and also the conservative movement's appeal starts to feel a little more amorphous. This, you know, you've got on the one side,
the
and I agree with you that it's an arms race of promises, but okay, well, what do you say to somebody who doesn't have an advanced degree or doesn't even have a college degree? And you're going to say that we support solid, intact family structure? Okay. What else can we say?
Well,
or should be said?
A couple of things. First of all, I think conservatives ought to be the ones saying, look, and Rubio, I think, delivered this effectively. Not everybody has to go to college. That's one of the most destructive myths of the late 20th and early 21st century. More people have been led to ruin by just this notion that everybody has to go to college. And I think, you know, saying that we need more welders than philosophers is a good line. Beyond that, though, you're right. Everybody can't be an entrepreneur. But, you know, I was thinking back when you were saying this about something Roger Ailes, of all people, said over 20 years ago, which is you don't ask poor guys for a job. If you're going to have a job, somebody has to create that job. There has to be somebody who's willing to take a risk and put you to work. And what Trump has done, and where he is right in the same lane as the Democrats, and where I think Daugherty was right in the same lane, is he is exploiting class envy and status envy to the point where unless you basically promise income equalization and to eat the rich, you're not going to get through to those folks. And I don't think that's true. I think you can go back to a 1980s kind of argument. I mean, remember when the Republicans first came back in the 1980s, America was flatter on its back than it is now. People don't believe that, but if you lived through the 1970s, it's true. And we actually made a good argument in those days for getting government out of the way, investing, creating opportunity zones, giving people more chance to actually go to work and keep more of their money. But if all we get into is the rich are out to screw you, I'm a billionaire and I'll screw them back, well, then no one can compete with that message, because when you're upset and depressed, that message is really appealing. It's self-destructive, but it's appealing.
All right. Tom Nichols of The Federalist. You can read his latest on TheFederalist.com, and you can check out also some of the pieces he refers to by Kevin Williams and Michael Brendan Doherty. They're linked in his piece. Go to TheFederalist.com. Tom, thank you for calling in. Great to talk to you.
You too, Buck. Thank you.
When our water heater broke down last month, it was a nightmare. It took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. By the time it was all said and done, I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. And they will break. And at the worst possible time, call American Residential Warranty right now for free information on home warranties starting at just pennies a day. Don't wait for your refrigerator to stop running or your ceiling fans to stop turning. Call American Residential Warranty right now. Ask how you can save up to 50% on washer and dryer coverage. Just call 1-800-686-3910. That's 1-800-686-3910. Again, 1-800-686-3910. Call now.